in a new time slot of 9 o'clock every Monday morning. Crime Watch is your weekly source of all you need to know about crime and rule of law. What constitutes crime? Where do I report crime?
Police is not a stranger, it's helping you.
There's always need for effective collaboration between the community and the law enforcement agencies.
How do I keep safe from crime?
What about a woman with disability on wheelchair? She cannot be able to protect herself from gender-based violence.
These questions and more are answered on Crime Watch from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. every Monday on Radio Miraya, the voice of peace.
Right, a very good morning to you all listening to Radio Miraya, and this is Crime Watch, 17 minutes after 9 a.m. My name is Moyo Jacob Felix, and so today we will be having a very important conversation, and we'll have participants from the ONMIS, from the SGBFI, SPT, and of course the CCC, the Conflict Children Out of Conflict, and we will be talking more about the children in the conflict, and talking about an orphan's perspective. And so joining me this morning in our studio, I have four guests, and I'll give them the opportunity to be able to speak up themselves. And I will start definitely with Biko, as you speak out yourself in an introduction.
Good morning. My name is Mikko. I'm a police officer from Finland. I have worked in South Sudan soon, a little over 3 years, and I am. I've been a police officer for a long time, and I'm married, happily married. My wife is married, and I'm happy, or other way around. And I have three children, and I'm happy to be here.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you so much. And let's also have a chance to hear from Marlene. Marlene, you're most welcome to Radio Miraya, as you say yourself.
Kristen?
Mm.
Today I'm the Radio Miraya.
Yes.
And I'm really excited and somehow scared.
Mm. You shouldn't be scared, rather you should be so excited. I will come the excitement part, not the scary part. You're most welcome to Radio Miraya. So tell us where you come from.
Well, I came from the orphanage.
Mm.
CC, which stands for Confident Children Out of Conflict.
Mm.
Yeah, this way.
All right. Thank you so much. And Abdulaziz?
Yes, hello, everybody. I'm Abdulaziz. I live there in CCC.
Mm.
So I was come from Sudan. Right now, I live there. So with all the happiness, and I'm so excited to be here in this place today, especially for those who are listening to me. And thanks.
Mm, thank you so much. To Samson.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Bida Samson Robert. I'm the programs manager for Confident Children Out of Conflict.
Thank you. Thank you so much. You all are welcome to Radio Miraya this morning, particularly to the Crime Watch program. Let me throw the ball to Mikko to be able to make for us a narrative of this whole conversation. I mean, talking about how you visited the CCC and how we arrived at today.
Thank you. As I said, I work for UNPOL, and I work in the specialized police team for sexual and gender-based violence, and we work with local police, but one of our counterparts is the orphanage Confident Children Out of Conflict, and CCC shelters children from war, but of course no orphanage can replace a peaceful society. I visited the orphanage for the first time in August, and I met with the previous head of orphanage, Madam Helen. And she told us some things of their challenges at the moment, But I was very impressed by the loving attitude and the caring attitude that she had towards the children. At that time, there were about 30 children in the orphanage, and they were well looked after. And the orphanage got most of their support from the local people, just regular people giving support. Of course, Madame Helen was member of the National Assembly, and she was well connected, so she was able to get some support for the orphanage. Our team, ANPOL, has also been able to support them in a smaller way, and we've always been welcomed there enthusiastically. Unfortunately, Honorable Madame Helen passed away in December, and I was luckily invited to her memorial service in January, and there we got some promises from those who were present that the orphanage will be taken care of and looked after, and I'm happy to say that Mr. Samson Bida has been very influential in that way, that he has taken care of the orphanage really well. And I've been, every time I've been talking with him, I'm impressed. He takes good care of the children. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And let me move right away now to Marlene and also to Abdelaziz. You know, I mean, share with us, Marlene, how long have you been living in the Confident Children Out of Conflict?
Well, in Confident Children Out of Conflict, I lived there almost 7 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was some kind of good experience living with people who show you love. It was really amazing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, how did you find necessarily, I mean, when you came in?
When I came to the orphanage?
Yes.
It was kind of good.
Mm.
Yeah, because you have all the things that you were wishing for. They provided school. I go to school. And that really makes it nice for me to be able to communicate with kids outside.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to show my experience and also know the challenges, that there are people also there who are facing challenges, not only me.
Mm-hmm.
And CC has given me like the opportunity to be able to express myself out in front of people. This really makes a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really excited.
All right. Now, Abdelaziz, I mean, how long have you been there? For Marlene, has been there for 7 years.
Yes, I just only 1 month and above.
1 month.
Yeah.
You are very new there. I mean, how did you find when you came in?
When I come, so I was lonely, and I found that place. It was so amazing, and it's still yet. So that place, everything that what I want, I will find it will be near me. So the thing that what I wish from that place, all the people are living just with happiness life. Nobody will get inside the emotion of somebody else. So that place is so amazing to me. So, but when I just only sitting like that, when the people all are arriving to school, and I'm just only sitting alone, at that time, just only the time that will let me that I will feel like uncomfortable. But when they come back from the school, I'm become with them and whatever, all of them, I could see them like my brothers and my sisters.
Mm.
Nothing will be bad.
Yeah,
yeah.
Marlene, where did you come from before you joined the CCC?
Well, I was staying in Gumbo.
Mm.
Yeah.
And what about you, Abdelaziz?
I come from Sudan.
All right. And you know, you have not lived there for so long. As such, I mean, do you feel that the others have welcomed you there? Actually.
Yeah, I feel that they welcome me because they cannot say everything bad that to me. Everything that they will see it like. Without disappearance and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that when they got some speech and whatever, they will see the good and the bad, everything you will see it in front of your face. But nothing that is bad I saw. Everything is good. And they told me that this place is perfect and they welcome me by a good hosting and
mm-hmm.
like that.
Yes. What about you, Marlene? You know, okay, you have been there for about 7 years. Do you feel that others have actually welcomed you there?
Well, I'm so excited because when first I came to the orphanage, I found love.
Mm.
I found children, many children there. They talk to me, they ask me. We keep on joking together. I never saw anything bad because all of them were, I think, equally to my age. So I was happy the staff there, they looked after me like their biological daughter. It was really kind of a miracle.
It was. Now that you are speaking to the listener today, can you tell us about a typical day, a typical one in your life at the Confident Children Out of Conflict? Yes. Marlene?
Yes.
Yeah, I would like you to tell us, you know, you have been there for 7 years, a lot of experience, like you so far have cited in your explanations. I mean, tell us, I mean, cite one of those days that you actually feel like you want to share with the people, a very, whether it is a joyful moment or it is an emotional moment you would love to share with the people.
Well, I'm so excited there because I've never seen my father, but there are people there who really look after me like their biological daughter, like Uncle Beke, Bida Samson. Mm-hmm. They really loved me like their biological daughter, and this really makes me feel happy, even if I don't know my real father, but I consider him my father's.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really impressed to at least call someone my father.
All right, great. What about you, Abdelaziz? I mean, share with us a typical time you actually found at the CCC.
In CCC?
Yeah.
So, they will show me the thing that what I wish in my life even. So, when I just come there and the dealing that they used to deal with me, I did not feel that like I got no somebody here in this place. But just the thing that actually I feel that I got no any parents or whatever here in this country especially, but they assist me that for just not thinking a lot about those things that what I did not find it. But when they try to make to me like a good, all the good things and whatever, I can't think like with badly things. So all I see that front of my face gone being good to me.
That sounds interesting. And now can you tell us, I mean, more about your life before you came to the orphanage?
Before I come there, I was so suffering a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I come from Sudan, then I arrived here, Juba especially, then I got no anybody here. I know him in this country especially. Nobody, no friends, no. She mean the owner who come here like I'm a deaf. So then I found somebody in a market there. Then I asked him about the place that where I will sleep and whatever. Then he told me that here, especially if you got nobody, will be so difficult. Then he showed me there's one of Sudanese there is working there. He's buying a lot of things. He's selling things. You have to go to him. Then you will ask him. Maybe he will tell you the place that where you will see it, or maybe he will hosting you with him. So then I went to him, that body, he was just ignoring me. He don't want to talk to me. When I asked him, I said, just only excuse me. He said, no, I am busy. You have to go right now. So then I went and I found one of South Sudanese people here. Then he told me the place that way is Damascus. Damascus of Sudanese people, they will just hosting you and you will just sit there until you will find your family and whatever. So then he showed me the place and I went. When I arrived at Damascus, then I asked the one that who is responsible from Damascus. Then he told me, right now, we do welcoming people here in this Moscow, but we are near to close this thing called putting people here in this Moscow and whatever, but today it doesn't matter. You will just sleep there, and tomorrow you will see the place that where you are going. So I said, it doesn't matter. Then I sleep there. So there's people also, they come new from Sudan. So they were talking about the place which is called by Gorom. So then I heard from them, like they said, if you went there, there's UN, they will welcome you, they will get you to school. There's anything what you want will be available there. Then I said, cool. So one of them, I told him that tomorrow if you get up in the morning, you have to get me to the station of Gorom and whatever. Then We wake up at the morning, then we went to the station of Gorom. When I went, then I found like some women there. They told me that you have to go there. There is one of people who work in this place. Then he told me that there is no new registration or whatever. You have to now go there. There is just cover of putting new people whom are single and whatever. You have to go and sit there. I say, okay, cool. Then he showed me the place. I went and I put my bag and I sleep there for like 3 days. He said that you have to come to me every day. Then we will see your reason that what you come for.
Mm.
Okay, I said, okay. Then I used to come to him. So after a long time, then he told me that there is one woman there, you have to go to her at that office. Then I went. That woman had registered a lot of things from my speech, that the story that what I come from, Sudan and whatever. He registered a lot of things that. Then I get back. When I get back, there is nobody to leave. There is nobody to stay with him and whatever. I'm just only staying alone. So after like 5 days or 6 days, then I get back to her. Then she told me that there is one office there of CCC.
Mm-hmm.
So then I went. That office. When I went there, so there is one work there in that CCC office. She registered my names. Then after like three days, then I get, they told me that we want to talk you to the Yuba. She mean the place that which of CCC place. So then they get me here in this place. I was live that which is miserable. So it was so difficult.
All right. What about you, Marlene, before you came to CCC? I mean, how was life?
Well, life was really so miserable.
Mm.
Like, I lived like a wild animal. It was a bit frustrating because when I was staying in Yambio, I stayed with my mom, but I could not go to school. Then my grandmother came, so she was like, she will bring me to Juba and give me education. Mm-hmm. I was a child, I was so excited. Like someone telling you a story, and you'll be very excited to see the end of the story.
Mm, the results.
Yeah, so I came to Juba with my grandmother. When I stayed with her, she started mistreating me. At times, I'll not sleep at home. I'll sleep outside. I'll come back home. Still, she beats me. So I thought maybe I was doing something wrong that does not make her happy. Mm. I never knew what I did. But as a child, I'll always go. When she calls me, I'll go. She canes me, I run away. I just keep on sleeping. Anywhere I find that is comfortable, the way I can sleep, I only sleep. Then after a very long time, I went to a neighbor. I told her, I was like, I don't know why my grandmother beats me all the time. I see many people are being loved by their grandmother, but I don't know why me. I'm always unfortunate. So those women, they were scared because many of them are scared of my grandmother, because when she quarrels, you feel like she'll give you a punch. So everyone was really scared of her. They'll keep on chasing me back to her. So when I saw like this, there's no other another way. I keep on sleeping outside. Any place I find, I sleep there. Then one day I went to another man. I started explaining to him. I started talking to him about what my grandmother was doing. So that man saw like this. He was like, okay, you can be with me. You can stay with me. I'll give you education. I'll give you everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I stayed with that man. He bought me new clothes. He bought me many things. Mm-hmm. He bought me many things. And after a few days, my grandmother came back. She was like someone adopted me. So she was giving a lot of excuses and all that sort of kind of things. Then that man was like, he cannot handle me because my grandmother is too harsh. Mm. I think I should go back to her. So because I was also scared, I refused like going back with her. Then that man took me to a police station. At that time, You cannot recognize me. My whole body was in wounds. I was in so much pain. So I went to the police station. They were like, I should say what my grandmother did to me. So I started explaining. Yeah, because me, I don't know, maybe I had big brain. I keep things. So I started explaining to the policeman. So they were like, okay, but I cannot sleep in the police station. They have to find a place where I can sleep. So when I stayed there until something like 4, my grandmother was put in jail. Then when it reaches 4, the police was complaining that where will this child sleep? She is too small to sleep in the police station. So another woman called Huda, I don't know, she was kind-hearted. She brought me in. She was like, she would look after me, give me education, everything I wanted. I was so excited at that moment. After staying with her for some few good days, I started experiencing that I'm lucky to have someone like her.
Mm.
Yeah, she started buying me new clothes, giving me food. I was so happy.
And I'm sending you to school.
She did not send me to school, yes, because she knew that if she sends me to school, my grandmother will still come back around, and maybe when she finds me somewhere, she'll be able to take me back. So she was scared of the insecurity. After a few weeks like that, then she told me something, that I've gotten you a place to stay where you'll be studying for free. You'll get food, bed, everything you want. I was so excited, because imagine, I'll be going to school like any other children.
Yes.
I'm wearing new uniform. Yeah, I was so excited.
Mm.
So when she took me there, the first day, when I reached there, I saw all the children.
CCC.
Yeah, in CCC, all the children were at school. When they were coming back, they were so excited. I felt like I'm really lucky.
Mm.
Yeah, so.
All right. So, yeah, thank you so much, Marlinda, for narrating to us how life was before you came to CCC together with Abdelaziz. We have understood how life was. Let me come to you, Samson, as we get to understand. I mean, how are you operating the whole orphanage center?
Well, thank you very much, listeners of Radio Miraya. Confident Children Out of Conflict was established since 2007, and we are in operational since that time up to date. And we generally have many children. And as you mentioned earlier on again about children associated with armed conflict and armed group. Previously, we also, after we accommodate also this and reunite them back to the community after that, after proper psychosocial support and all this. And currently, we have about 60 children at the center right now, and all these children go to school. And we have majority of these children are going to school, and they are all psychologically okay, and we have competent and professional social workers that are working with these children and looking after these children, and with support from our friends, special enemies who comes to us all the time in any situation, both psychosocial support to the children and motivational words that they are supporting to the children, gave us a lot of courage. And it was not easy, actually, managing a whole center like that. Financially, constraints are there, but we stood strong through our friends and colleagues. This made us at least the children more comfortable at the center.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So where are the children studying? Are they within the center or you send them to school outside?
They are outside the center. We have two schools, secondary school and primary school. Yeah. So this...
Which ones are those schools?
St. Kizito Primary School and Feda Secondary School in Munuki.
All of them in Munuki?
Yes.
But where is the center located?
The center is located at New Side.
New Side, okay. On
Bilfarm
Road to Bilfarm.
Yes.
All right. And, you know, you cited a few of the challenges in terms of finance as well. So how are you coping up? And if there are other challenges, you can also mention them.
Yeah. Basically, the center, we doesn't have full funding for the center at the moment. And... other challenges includes, of course, payment of the tuition of the children. It's too expensive in Juba.
Sure.
Payment of the children is really expensive. But for this year, through our friends, and Paul, UNMIS friends, they are able to support the children this year to make sure that they go to school for the whole year,
this academic year.
Yes. So we are looking forward that if we will get some friends and support people that can come to the center and visit the center and see the children we are managing. At the moment, the youngest child we have right now is 3 weeks old. So this is a child that is abandoned at the hospital. So the mother delivered and left the child at the hospital and disappeared. So we have to, the police and the Ministry of Gender, we are not working separately. We work through the Ministry of Gender, Child and Social Welfare. So the ministry has to come in and inform us that they have this challenge at the hospital already. So we need to respond as soon as possible. And that is how we responded. And managing infants is really expensive. That is one of the things that we have to be honest to all of the listeners. And people that generously needs to come to see the center are welcome, so that we explain to them practically what we are doing on ground. So generally we deal with child protection and GVV programming in the center. So we respond also to this.
So tell us, what are the major needs of these children that you're having at the orphanage?
At the moment, the most needs that we would like is the tuition of the children and feeding of the children also. Nutrition, of course, is very important. And the other thing, we are receiving a number of cases of children, so we need an expansion of the dormitories. That is another thing that we need to be included at the center. We have enough land, and that is more secured for and protective, conducive for the children, and we need an additional dormitory for the children. So that is one.
Now, just in case, if any of our listeners would like to offer support to the orphanage, I mean, how will they be able to go about it?
Our center is we are free to be contacted, and that will be through me. They can reach me at New Site, opposite the police station. So we can be accessed there openly.
All right. Let me also come to Miko to understand so much more now about, I mean, you have heard of the challenges that the orphanage is going through, much as the UN mission in South Sudan, through your department in particular, has been able to support the children in terms of their school fees for this academic year. I mean, what will happen after this academic year? I mean, is UNMISS going to continue supporting these children in one way or another?
This is a very good question. We have actually the support that we have been able to give to the orphanage and to the children. It has come from individuals rather than UNMISS as an organization. So it has been our good colleagues from UNPOL and from also from the military side who have donated money, and we have been able to buy some food for the orphanage and also some mattresses when they received more children. So we were able to do that. So it is individuals who have been able to support them. And I have felt that it's been a privilege to be able to help them, to help somebody in a real way. But of course, we are not here always. I will be going home in October, and I don't know what will happen after that. I hope that, of course, our program will continue, and I hope that there will always be some kind-hearted colleagues who will help. But and we have also had some talks with the World Food Program about maybe they can do something about the food
feeding
issue.
Program.
Yeah, exactly. So, but and actually, I think Samson had a talk with them last weekend. Hopefully it will come.
All right. Abdelaziz, let me come to you again. I mean, what are your hopes now for the future, and I mean, and for yourself particularly, and also for the country?
For the country.
For yourself first?
For myself?
Yes.
So myself, I hope just to be like a technology buddy, and just to discover a lot of things in this country, new things. So, and to know a lot of things about life. So, I'm still like now, like somebody who is ignorant. But, and for this country, I hope to be like developing country and peaceful. And I hope all the people to live like life that which is like cooperation life and whatever. So they have to cooperate each other and to be educate people. And I hope it to develop more than this one.
So, what class are you now?
Me? I'm in a P6.
In P6. Okay, and you want to be somebody who is more of technology in the future. All right, that's so amazing. That's so great. What about you, Marlene? I mean, what would you look at in terms of your future and the future of this country as well, South Sudan?
Well, I want to be a lawyer in future to myself, like...
Wow.
Yeah.
That's very amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, I want to be a lawyer, and I just want to be the voice for those who don't know how to speak out. There are those who are dying in silence, and so I just want to be there, to be the second hand, whereby I can be able to speak. I can be able to speak for them. And for the for South Sudan... I just want South Sudan to be a place where every citizen feels that they have right, in the country. I just want to see the country developing, and seeing every children going to school, and making their life, their dreams come true. That's really what I want for the country of South Sudan.
All right, and let me come back to Samson, getting to understand this. I mean, do the children still have reason to actually believe in South Sudan?
Sure. The children has the reason, and all their future is built by what we are doing as a nation. And it is our efforts, if we put our hands together, the future of this country will be more bright, because we are going to, we will grow, and the children that we are looking after will replace our positions. So, and that is what we are looking at, productive children and productive future for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have seen a vision of a bright future for the for this country through the children.
Mm-hmm.
If we
and
invest a lot
now as adults, who actually make decisions that will affect the lives of orphans and the lives of all the children in South Sudan, do we deserve actually their faith? Yes,
yeah.
Do we deserve actually the faith of these children?
Yes, we do.
Mm-hmm.
We do. And it is our responsibility as adults.
Mm-hmm.
And not only us making decisions for themselves, but inclusive, involving them in decision making is important.
Mm-hmm.
And that builds their leadership and mm-hmm. their skills to become future leaders of the country.
Yeah, and I go back to maybe if somebody would want to help, do you have a contact that you can be able they can be able to call to access?
Yes.
Yes, you can mention the contact for them.
My contact is 09230883333.
Yeah, again?
092
mm-hmm.
30883333.
All right. And let me come back to Marilyn. That is it for those who would want to offer their support to the Orphan Center to continue building the orphans to develop this country. And now, Marilyn, what class are you now?
Well, I'm in senior two.
You're in senior two. That's so great. And to actually end this, I would like each of you, especially you and Abdelaziz, to give me a one word wish, just any word that describes what you would want to for all the children in South Sudan.
According to me, I just wish that every child should really focus on school. Like, to be someone better, you really have to struggle. You don't get to be on top because you're just going to school, but to really struggle for what you really want.
All right. Thank you. Abdelaziz, what is that one word you would wish for all the children of South Sudan?
I wish a good freedom and education and their dream to be achieved.
Thank you so much. And Samson, maybe your last remarks now as we wind up this conversation.
My last remarks is that let us always support the children, especially those in need. Mm-hmm. We have to join our hands and support them and highlight their future, because what you give right now will be more bigger in the future of this, in the future and the life of these children. Something small you have given, it's very big in the future.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Samson. Yes, Miko, any final message to the listener of Radio Meroya?
Yes. I would like to just remind everyone to take care of the children. There are many orphanages all around the country, and I'm sure all orphanages need support. So just be mindful and help everyone.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Miko. Thank you, Samson. Abdelaziz, thank you. And thank you, Marilyn, all for joining me this morning on Radio Meroya to talk about these important conversions. Inshallah, we'll have you some more times again on this conversion.